Next up, SSC report, Dr. McNamee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Excellent. And I think the process is to have the folks kind of flip for me, so I'll just ask for the next slide when it's time. Thanks for that. So I am giving two reports, one today, I think one tomorrow, and this one is going to focus on the Atlantic Herring OFLs and ABCs for 21 through 23. Next slide. The terms of reference that the SSC was dealing with, we had this meeting a while back. I can't remember what month, but this one, our term of reference was simple in that we were just asked to produce ABCs and OFLs, but we were asked to make sure we were paying attention to the control rules selected by the council during Amendment 8. And so we were cognizant of that while we were making our recommendations. Next slide. So a little bit of background. The SSC received an overview of the management track assessment, what you just heard a couple minutes ago for Atlantic Herring. We also received a report from the PDT on the analyses that they had done then applying the control rule to the output from the assessment. So we had both of those things by way of information as well as a whole bunch of other background documents. As you have heard, the results of the assessment indicate that the stock was overfished, but that overfishing was not occurring. And we were also provided with short-term projections. These were carried out assuming that the age one recruitment was derived from the entire time series for all of the out years of the projections. So for fishing years 2021 through 2023. The projections were initialized, however, with a more recent set of information. So those recruitment estimates only used the last 5 years. Next slide. So thanks. This is just a background slide to reorient you to what the council selected ABC control rule is here. And so it's biomass based. It has a maximum fishing mortality of 80% of the FMSY proxy when the biomass is greater than 50% of SSB to SSB maximum sustainable yield. And then when the biomass falls below that 50%, the F declines along kind of a, it's that hockey stick looking linear decline until you reach about 10% of SSB to SSB MSY. At that point, fishing mortality is set to zero. And so this control rule was applied to the projected biomass estimates for 2021 through 2023. So we had those numbers to look at during our consideration of this assessment. Next slide. Just a couple of snippets of some relevant information. So you can see you've got a biomass plot there and sort of, you know, not good news there in that in the most recent years, there's been this pretty steep decline in biomass. Along with that, though, you have a decline in fishing mortality. So that part is not bad news, that's good news. You've got a declining fishing mortality, but all of this kind of pivots around the bottom right slide, which is recruitment. And you can see, and Dr. Simpkins just noted this same element, in the most recent years, the recruitment is, it's been really low, certainly below the long-term average. And consistently low, whereas in the past you would see, you know, decent recruitment events every couple of years. You've not seen that now. Going all the way back to, I think it's 2013 where this really low trend started. Next slide. So now on to the SSE's comments. So we had reservations about the projections for Atlantic Herring, and those mainly pivoted around this, what I just mentioned, that the assumptions regarding future recruitment, in that the most recent recruitment has been really low. So the age one recruitment, as I mentioned previously, for the projections, those were drawn from the full time series. And what we saw in the projections was that the projected biomass, it jumps up in that third year of the projection relative to the earlier years of the projection. So kind of stays low for the first 2 years and then significantly jumps up. And so the SSE considered that the projected increase in the biomass in 2023 was uncertain, and we were concerned about setting the ABC based on that value. One other note that I'll make before we change the slide is, in the previous year, I think it was 2018, we had, or the previous time we looked at this, we had actually considered the same sort of thing. And we had a discussion that the impact of low recruitment within the window of the short-term projection didn't have strong impacts on the catch advice. However, and now I'll have you flip to the next slide. We decided to make the ABC recommendations for 2021 and 2022 based on the ABC control rule and the projections. So we're kind of following strictly to the control rule for those first 2 years. But then we made a departure and we recommended keeping the ABC in 2023 the same as 2022. And this was due to the uncertainty in the recruitment assumptions in the underlying projections. For the OFL, we recommended those be set to follow the projections. So those, you'll see in a moment, follow the projections, but we've kept the 2023 ABC static with the recommendation in 2022. So the use of this reduced ABC in 23 is consistent with our role in accounting for scientific uncertainty by acknowledging that the projections are sensitive to the assumptions around recruitment, in particular in this final year. Next slide. And we wanted to highlight some of these uncertainties for you. And so the first is that the Gulf of Maine and Georges Bank, it is considerably warmer now than during most of that 1965 through 2015 period. And along with this, you know, warm water, there may be other environmental factors indirectly or directly related to this that could be controlling herring recruitment. And then getting back now to the 2018 projections, we asked that Dr. Daroba rerun those back, you know, during that consideration of Atlantic herring. And we asked him to rerun those projections using a more conservative recruitment assumption and applying the harvest control rule to the final year. And what we found was that undergoing that process, that led to an ABC that was similar to just simply carrying the second year value forward. And so the point of all of that is that it suggests the rationale of adding an additional uncertainty buffer onto the third year by holding it static is an appropriate way to handle scientific uncertainty for the herring stock in that final year. So whether you kind of run the whole thing under a more conservative recruitment assumption, or you kind of use the projections but then keep the final year static, you end up in a similar place. And so we did the latter for our recommendations for this year. Next slide. So this is just an overview of our recommendations. So you see the OFLs kind of follow the projections here. And again, you can see that big increase in the final year. But then you can see the ABCs, we kind of follow the projections, but then in the final year, keep that static with the recommendation for 2022. Next slide. A couple of additional comments we wanted to add for your consideration. So we recommend management track assessment for Atlantic Herring in 2022. Of course, following it's a management track, so it would follow the guidelines of the recent benchmark assessment. We just wanted to highlight this. It's already on the schedule, and so we just wanted to kind of support that with a comment on it. We also recommend further investigation into understanding the recent low recruitment of Atlantic Herring and possible drivers. That's consistent with advice we have offered in the past, but that's kind of the really important aspect of the most recent assessments, is this consistent low recruitment. And so investigating and looking into what is driving that, we think, would be really valuable information for the management process. We also recommend investing in an acoustic survey for the species to better understand abundance trends. For schooling pelagics, acoustic surveys are used very frequently. So, you know, we think that would be a real benefit for this stock as well. Next slide. And we recommend continuing to build out the social science information, that's social, cultural, economic. And the point of this would to be to better contextualize its role in the larger social ecological system. And one of the things that we focused on for this is interspecies interactions. So for Atlantic herring, and you got a good sense of this during your MSE process, but there's a lot of interaction with a lot of different predator species, and those include some that aren't managed by the New England Council, for instance, striped bass and tuna. And then finally, the peer review panel, they recommended modifying the approach for estimating reference points by explicitly including fishing mortality rates for the fixed gear fleet. This is something that has been changing through time. And so as the percentage of catch caught by that fixed gear fleet increases, it will become more important to separately account for that fixed gear fishery, in particular with regard to how the model estimates selectivity for that fleet, which is different than the mobile gear fleet. And so the peer review panel made that recommendation, and we just wanted to note that we support that recommendation. We think that would be something important to investigate and test in future assessments. And next slide. With that, Mr. Chair, I am done with my presentation, and I'm happy to field any questions that the council or the public has for me.
Great. Thank you very much, Dr. McNamee, for the presentation. I'm going to start opening up the council members first for questions on the presentation. I do not see any. Why don't I go out to the audience then, and while the members think a little bit more. Hopefully we can get a couple of questions for you. Out to the audience. Nothing from the audience. Back to the council. Dr. Sissonwine.
Yes, thank you. I'm raising this in the context of the herring presentation, but the question and comment I have actually applies more broadly. Jason, thank you for the presentation. You know, I think you were very clear, but one thing that comes out of it is that the SSC basically isn't comfortable with using the entire time series of recruitment data as the basis for projections out 3 years. Maybe it's good, maybe it's accepting them for 1 year or even two, but by the time you get to 3 years, you're not accepting them. Well, first, let me make sure that I've interpreted that correctly. That's the basis for you essentially maintaining a constant catch rather than following the projections. Am I correct?
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Sissonwine. I think that is, you know, not the entirety of why we held that static. There were a couple of other uncertainties that we factored in there, but it is certainly an important one that we've highlighted, not just this year, but the last time as well.
Okay, well, I raised this because you actually described it as, so there's a little bit of an extra uncertainty buffer being applied. And I raise this in the context that we went through a very extensive management strategy evaluation. And there were lots of issues, I think, with that management strategy evaluation. But just as a matter of procedure, it's presumably already accounted for all of those uncertainties. And we adopted a harvest control rule based on how that rule performed in the face of all those uncertainties. And generally, the idea is that once you've adopted that rule, unless something breaks down, there's an extraordinary circumstance, which should have been defined when the management strategy evaluation was conducted. Unless there's such a thing, you follow the rules. And so I'm not particularly quibbling over the catch in this case in herring, but I think if we're going to invest in things like management strategy evaluation, we ought to use them the way they're intended to be used. If I could just add, one of the implications of saying we're not going to base that third year of projection on the full time series is that for some reason we think that current conditions are different such that the likelihood of recruitment being a random draw from that time series is no longer true. It's likely to be lower. And to the extent that's true, then we need to reconsider what the biological reference point is, that's the BMSY value is, upon which we ought to be applying the harvest control rule. I don't necessarily expect any of these things to be resolved right now, and I'm not all that concerned about them in the context of the decision that needs to be made on herring. But I'm pointing them all out because I think as we invest more and more in management strategy evaluation, we need to have a pretty clear picture of what the role is of the council. Presumably it's to accept the results that come out of it, out of the management strategy evaluation. But I think there's also a role and a limitation on what the SSC should do in that context. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Sissonwine. Mr. Chair, if I could just offer a couple of quick comments. And I think your comments are totally fair. And as we started the meeting, I made a point to remind the SSC about this particular control rule and the amount of work that had gone into it. And I think a couple of the SSC members were actually part of the MSE process. And so I think it was an important discussion topic for the SSC. And I think your comments are fair, and it's probably a matter of experience with, you know, the MSE and how it kind of interacts with our process. And I think the comfort with the fact that all of these additional uncertainties are accounted for in the control rule, I think the comfort level will grow with that. And one important point from the SSC was, you know, we kind of set that third year, but were aware that there was going to be an assessment process between now and then as well. And so I think that played into our recommendation in the end as well. So I think it's a fair comment, and you know, I think we're all kind of learning and getting more comfortable with this new process. And so I look forward to kind of getting some additional years under our belt, and looking back and seeing how the MSE outcomes, you know, match up against reality. And I think that will potentially allow us to strictly use the control rule moving forward.
Great. Next up, Dan Salerno.
Thank you, Dr. Chairman. Hi, Jason. Maybe this is kind of a basic question. Maybe this is not for you, but actually I should have raised it in the last presentation by Dr. Simkin. But both presentations showed that your recruitment is going down, yet the catch in the fixed gear fishery, not only is a component of the total catch is going up, but it appears that the catch itself is going up. But based on selectivity, I'm having trouble how to rectify that in my mind, since it seems that the fixed gear fleet tends to catch the smaller, younger fish. So I guess it's a simple question in my mind. I'm having trouble of understanding how the recruitment's going down, yet we're seeing an increased catch of younger, smaller fish. Is there something either you or someone else can kind of help me get an idea about that?
Mr. Chair,
please respond. Yeah,
kind of broadly respond, and so I think whether the fixed gear fleet catches more smaller, younger fish or not, we didn't really talk about that, but we did talk about the importance of, you know, as that fishery becomes a bigger component of the overall fishery, understanding the selectivity of that fleet becomes more and more important. So we did highlight that as something that needs some further consideration, some investigation moving forward. And Dr. Daroba may have some additional flexibility with the new management track process in the future to kind of investigate that a little further without having to wait, you know, years and years for a research track. So, you know, I'm not really directly answering, you know, your question, but just noting that we did take note of the importance of this and the changing dynamics in the fishery where it's becoming a larger component, and it could have important population dynamic interactions with the fishery, and that's why we highlighted it as something that needs some focus and some investigation moving forward.
Great, thank you very much. Next up is Peter Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're not on listen only anymore?
No, I'm not. I appreciate the time earlier. I listened to the entire thing. Appreciate the presentation, Dr. McNamee. One of the recommendations I thought I heard come out of the SSC is how the pelagic species herring would be suitable for an acoustic survey. And I'm wondering if there are other species that are managed in our region that you think would benefit from acoustical surveys. Because I don't necessarily know that we have those tools in our toolbox right now. And I'm wondering if the Science Center in looking to the future with the loss of survey data due to wind energy development is maybe looking at the acoustic survey aspect of hopefully, you know, quantifying our fisheries a little better. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Peter. I won't speak for the Science Center. Certainly, maybe if Dr. Simpkins is still out there, he could jump in on that. But just maybe a broad comment, and that is, I think there certainly are, you know, acoustic surveys tend to be good for schooling pelagics in particular, because it, you know, you can get a good return from, you know, really tightly packed school of herring, or, you know, menhaden would be another one, another species. And there are likely others. And I think you raise an interesting point where, you know, one of the concerns with surveying in amongst offshore wind farms is, you know, when you're hauling gear on the bottom, there's just a level of danger that you know, kind of gives all of us pause and makes us wonder about how surveys could continue under those conditions. But an acoustic survey where all of the gear is kind of on the boat, that might be a way for pelagic species that you could continue to get survey, fishery independent survey information from within these areas. That's conjecture on my part, but I think it's a good point that's worth investigating.
Thank you, Dr. McMahon.
Next up, Dr. Hare.
Thank you very much. Just to, you know, answer Mr. Hughes's question about potential utility of acoustic surveys in wind energy areas. That's certainly one of the survey technologies that we will be investigating for use in wind energy areas. And then just to sort of follow up on Mr. Reed's question, the NEMAP data is used in the butterfish assessment. The NEMAP fall survey data is used in the butterfish assessment. So thank you.
Great, thank you very much. I see no other questions from the council members or the audience. So thank you very much, Dr. McNamee, much appreciated.